Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
We are back in Atlanta after a little side trip where we went on up to Minnesota.
Yes, indeed. We presented at the E4 Elementary Education Conference, and it was awesome.
It was. There's just infectious energy, a lot of enthusiasm from the teachers present, just really gung-ho about science, about teaching, about engineering and mathematics. And we gave our spiel about how we're all scientists just from the get-go. We crawl out of the womb. Well, I don't guess we don't crawl out of the womb, but we're...
Be a lot more convenient for women if that were the case.
We're ripped from the womb with, ripped is a little strong.
Yeah.
You're coerced from the wound, I guess, from the womb, with math, with engineering and science already born into you. And we've discussed this on the podcast, and we shared it with everyone there, and it was just a grand time. So we may have some new listeners now who were present at our speech. And so if any of you teachers are tuning in, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, and actually I have a little tidbit that relates not just to the education conference, but also to our topic today here about laughter. Because okay. I couldn't help but giggle and titter later on when I remembered us rehearsing our keynote speech in front of a giant Lucy character from Peanuts.
Yes,
we a giant sculpture of her.
They were all over the hotel, and we got there the night before, so it's like Sunday evening, and we just want to rehearse the material a few more times. So, but we need an audience, right? But not a living audience, because they have better things to do on a Sunday night. So we found ourselves this giant Lucy idol, I guess you would call it.
Yeah,
and
with a giant plate of cake.
Yeah. I think it had something, because we also found a candy store down the road that had some Peanuts characters out front.
Yes.
With candy. So
yeah.
I guess they were related somehow.
And looking back, just the two of us in front of this giant sculpture gesturing to Lucy and giving the keynote just made me laugh. But of course, if I had remembered this this memory with other people with you, turns out I would have laughed a lot more, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah. We've talked about humor before, and we talked a little bit about laughter. This episode is all about the healing power of laughter, which is... It's become something of a cliche over the past few decades. You have, of course, like Patch Adams. You have you're shaking your head.
Oh, yeah. Patch Adams.
You have
have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay.
But I have seen Children's Hospital, the Adult Swim show, where they have a character on there played by Rob Corddry. He plays Dr. Blake Downs, who is a healing clown. But the funny part of this is that he takes the healing power of laughter deadly seriously. Like, he's wearing clown makeup that kind of looks like John Wayne Gacy-esque, you know, like that kind of slightly scary clown makeup. Mm-hmm. And he's not really, he never does much in the way that of actual humor for the sick. Like, he's just very
he's
serious
very
about it. Yeah, very intense.
See, I could get behind that, the intense clown.
Yeah. Intense clown. But yeah, like I say, it's become something of a cliche for all of us. But you go back to around the 1970s. In the 1970s, you had a guy by the name of Norman Cousins. And he was a writer and magazine editor for the Saturday Review. And he was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And at the time, the theory was making the rounds that stress could worsen such a condition.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked himself, well, what if I use the opposite of stress? So he thought about humor. So he goes to his doctor, and he gets his doctor's okay, and then prescribes himself a regime of humorous videos, shows like Candid Camera, which was, I guess, was big in the 70s at the time. He's going to take these videos, he's going to watch them along with his other treatments. And the disease went into remission, and Cousins wrote a paper for the New England Journal of Medicine, as well as a book titled Anatomy of an Illness, A Patient's Perspective. And that was published in 1979, became a bestseller, and it led to a lot of actual researchers looking into the matter. Most notably, you had this guy, Lee Burke, a preventative care specialist from Loma Linda University in Loma Linda, California. And then also from Loma Linda, you had Stanley Tan, who was an MD, PhD, and a diabetes specialist. So they were curious, does mirthful laughter help individuals with diabetes? And so short version of this is they took a group of 20 high-risk diabetic patients. They had a group C, which was control, and they had group L, which was laughter. So 12 months later, they found significant improvement in group L. HDL cholesterol, that's good cholesterol, had risen by 26% in group L, the laughter group, and only 3% in group C, the control group. Harmful C-reactive proteins decreased 66% in the laughter group versus 26% in the control group. So this was a big study that actually pushed the idea even more, that laughter is maybe there's something to laughter, that laughter it can actually heal us in some way, shape, or form. So that's what we're talking about in this episode, but we need to backtrack a little and say, all right, what is laughter? Before we start prescribing it willy-nilly, what's going on when we laugh?
Well, okay, one of the things I wanted to point out is that you can tell that it's central and very important to us when you look across species and you see that other species do it.
Right.
You know, we know that chimps do it. We know that if tickled, rats will giggle. There's an actual study on this. And from a new article on How Stuff Works called 10 Surprising Behaviors in Non-Human Animals by Kate Kirshner, we know that gorillas also engage in antics and laughter. In fact, she gives this example of a gorilla that got his kicks by running beside his trainer along the length of his cage at full speed. And then the gorilla would suddenly stop and start laughing uncontrollably as the human kept running past him. So, and she said it was great because the gorilla figured out a stupid human trick.
So chimps, gorillas, rats, they're all laughing at us.
They're all laughing at us. But what happens when we are laughing? What's going on in our own bodies? Because this is great. We can look at the chimps and we can look at rats and we can see them giggling. But we can, of course, turn the focus to ourselves and say, you know, just at a mechanical level, what's happening to spur on all of these different chemical changes in our body?
Well, the thing about laughter, like true laughter, like hearty laughter, not just a little snicker or what have you, but full laughter is a full body experience. Like your face is moving a lot, your jaw is moving, but also your torso, even your arms and legs, your trunk muscles, everything's getting in on the joke. 15 facial muscles contract, and you also have stimulation of the zygomatic major muscles. These are the main lifting mechanisms of your upper lip. And then you also have the respiratory system is getting in on the action. You have half closing of the larynx, so air intake occurs irregularly, making you gasp. And in extreme circumstances, what happens? Something's just extremely funny.
You start crying with laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you might pee a little.
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think on 30 Rock, Liz Lemon calls it lizzing, where if you, you laugh so hard that you start peeing yourself. Have you ever done this? Have you ever laughed so hard that you...
No.
You have? Okay.
Really? And I would admit to it. But no, I because, you know, I have no problem with that. But no, I have not.
My wife, sometimes will be watching something. She'll warn that she's about to pee herself if she laughs any harder. Or more, if I was to say like, come over and tickle her while she was laughing, then she might pee. That's the warning. I don't know. It may be a false threat. I've never pushed her on that one.
I have made friends do it, though.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, stop. And I can't help
and
myself.
Then they pee themselves?
Yeah, because they start crossing their legs. I'm just go in for the kill. But yeah, I mean, that's extreme circumstances for sure. Also, your mouth is opening and closing. And so there's still that struggle for oxygen. Mm-hmm. And of course, your face becomes moist and, you know, flushed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great feeling. Like, I watch a lot of humorous content. I imagine you do as well. You like funny things, correct?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I still find myself, it's rare that I watch something where it just completely overtakes me, where it's like you're possessed by a demon for a good minute or two, and it's just, you just can't control yourself. And it's I'm overstating the obvious here, but it's a wonderful feeling because it's like you're no longer in control of your body or your senses in the most delightful way possible.
It is great. And it's kind of funny, too, because you're psychologically, when you're watching something like that, mm-hmm. you start to feel that rise and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a roller coaster. It's like I'm riding a wave and I'm not completely in control, but I'm loving it.
So, okay, let's break down the actual sonic structure of what a laugh sounds like. And before we do it, let's listen to a clip of what I think is a great full-bodied laugh.
Well, that's a full body laugh. In the actual video of it, the YouTube, the individual's laughing really hard, and he's kind of an older gentleman, to the point where you're
He's got a bunch of beer bottles behind him,
yeah,
by the way,
yes.
too.
But you're a little concerned. You're like, whoa, you're laughing a little hard, Grandpa. You need to slow it down.
But it's just, I love it because it's such a joyful laugh, mm-hmm. and it's just... the structure of it just builds, and you can just tell that this guy is having so much fun. And it really is infectious. In fact, I think if you watch it, you probably are a little bit more invested in it that rather than just hearing it. But even just hearing it, you can't help but smile to yourself a little bit. So let's talk about the sonic structure.
Yes.
Laughter researcher Robert Provine discovered that all human laughter consists of variations on a basic form that consists of short vowel-like notes repeated, what he says, is every 210 milliseconds. So I didn't time it in that clip.
The first part of that, though, is the expert weighed in and said, when we laugh, we tend to go ha-ha or ho-ho.
That's right. He said there's one of two. It's either ha-ha-ha or ho-ho-ho.
I'm glad we have scientists on these.
I know, right? I wonder if that was an ignoble. And I think that clip that we played is definitely representative of the more like ha-ha-ha
Now, how about
variety?
Or is that a myth? Does anyone actually go,
I've never really heard, unless like they were intentionally saying hee.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess it's more like a wood sprite kind of a thing.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's something that would come natural to you when you're laughing, like mm-hmm. full-on body laughing.
Yeah, because full-on body laughing, it reaches the point of borderline disgusting at times. Like, where I feel like hee is maybe more of a social laughter, which we'll get into in a little bit. But more of a, look at me, I am laughing, and I am a wood sprite, as opposed to, I'm laughing so hard that urine is flooding through my pants,
covered
and snot
in my fluids.
Is coming out of my face. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Provine also suggests that humans have a detector that responds to laughter by triggering other neural circuits in the brain, which in turn generates even more laughter. And that's just one explanation for why laughter is contagious. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But here's the question. Why do we laugh in the first place? Why even do it?
Well, this is a valid question. We've touched on this a little bit when we've discussed humor in the past, because on a very basic level, you can say that laughter is a response to humor. But that's a tricky answer, too, because then you get into the question, well, what is humor? What makes something humorous?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we've discussed in the past is the benign violation theory.
Yeah.
Just a quick run through of this. This is the idea that you encounter... back on the primordial wilds, or when you go to a haunted house, a haunted attraction in the modern day. Something jumps out at you, scares the living daylights out of you,
mm-hmm.
and for a second you think you're going to die. Then you realize you're not, because it wasn't a saber-toothed tiger. It was your cousin Ugg deciding to have some fun with you, or it was just some
Ugg?
Dude. Ugg, yeah, cousin
mm-hmm.
Ugg.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite the trickster. Or it's some person in a ghoul mask at the haunted attraction. You realize you're not going to die, and the body's response then is to laugh, which arguably, and according to this theory, is then a social cue to those around you to say, we are not actually going to die. Please disregard that blood-curdling scream that I issued earlier.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that at the basis of this is really stress, right? Because
right.
It is a release. And you talked about the social implications of it. Some people say that laughter may even serve as a conciliatory gesture at times when things get very stressful.
Yes.
That there's a way to deflect anger.
It's interesting. I found a 2010 North Carolina State University study that looked at the role laughter plays in jury deliberations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the case they studied was a capital murder case. So it wasn't like they decided, oh, it's like a grandma was arrested for jaywalking and, you know, mm-hmm. or something more mundane. It was a life and death scenario. And they made some interesting observations about how humor among the jurors had helped to release the tension. And it also allowed them to acknowledge when they'd made errors and then they could correct them. Because, you know, allows you to sort of laugh off your mistakes. Which, as we've all, I hope we've all encountered that. You know, when something gets a little stressful at work, maybe you screwed something up, you can stick to your guns and let your ego command it and refuse to back down, or you can sort of laugh it off and everyone forgets. You
like know? Whenever I pronounce Michael Crichton as Michael Crichton, and you just laugh at me.
Do I?
Yeah, you kind of do.
Oh, well.
It's a laugh smirk. I appreciate it, because then I'm like, oh, God, there goes that tick again. But yeah, I mean, laughter occurs when people are comfortable with one another. We found mm-hmm. this out. And cultural anthropologist Mahadev Apte says that, you know, when you feel open and free and comfortable, the more you laugh. The more you laugh, the more you bond within a group. And this is really important because there's this other desire to not be outside of the group. And so you want to participate and laugh. And we've talked about this before within this social contract that we're always signing, that we are kind of hardwired to cooperate with one another anyway because it's to our benefit. So what happens is you have a feedback loop of bonding and laughing going on.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned individuals on the outside because you also get into that idea when you look at the theory of what humor is and how it works. The mm-hmm. idea that all laughter then has to do with, well, put it this way, with any given joke, you could argue that you're either on the inside or on the outside of that joke.
Mm-hmm.
Which side are you standing on? Are you on the side holding the hose or on the side getting hosed down by the humor? And then you can argue that humor is about maintaining that barrier between self and otherness, between normal and strange. I mean, you can really run wild with it. I was having a conversation with my friend Matt the other day, and he was making the argument that all racial humor is intrinsically racist. I don't know. I leave that to everyone else to think about. But certainly, you get into some tricky moral areas. But it's why you see comedian after comedian get into hot water because they end up joking about a topic that someone else takes too seriously. Because there is a certain amount of meanness to a lot, if not most, humor.
You know, I thought about that with Peter Segal because I was listening to him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me the other day.
Yes, a cruel
No, he's not. He's not really
cruel.
If
there ever was one.
He's not cruel, but he's very funny most of the time. But this guy will just, he'll just kind of throw whatever out there sometimes, and I admire that because it doesn't always stick. And I have actually heard the audience boo him before.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, because he didn't play with the audience. The audience was a little bit offended. So anyway, it is interesting to see that kind of dynamic in play.
Yeah, take Louis C.K., for instance. I mean, Louis C.K. does not seem really to have much of a filter, but he approaches it from a certain point of honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll say something that's really offensive or really gross, but he approaches it in such an honesty where he kind of says, this is what humor is, and I'm trying to make sense of it as well as you guys are. So,
you know, I have to say that in season two of Louis, mm-hmm. that I nearly stopped watching because one of his bits, his stand-up bits, was so offensive.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to offend me. And I was like, I don't know, I can't get back on this. But thankfully I did because it is a great show.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
But back to laughter and what's going on with the group dynamic. The researcher Robert Provine, who we mentioned, also found that laughter is 30 times more frequent in groups compared to private settings. So again, there's this idea that that's the feedback loop in place.
And that's why there's a huge difference between watching a comedy by yourself in a quiet living room to watching it with a loved one or a small group of friends versus watching it in amidst an audience that's like super into the movie or the improv show or what have you.
And this is from our article, How Laughter Works. So studies have also found that dominant individuals, the boss, the tribal chief, or the family patriarch, use humor more than their subordinates.
And that's where we get into some interesting social area as well, because neuropsychological and behavioral studies reveal that laughter can be more than just a spontaneous response to stimuli, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of tiger jumped out at me and I didn't die. But about 2 million years ago, we started developing willful control over our facial motor systems. So you can almost think of this as kind of a birth of deception and a birth of lies, almost kind of a Garden of Eden moment, because, and certainly as micro-expressions reveal, and you know, not everyone's a great liar, you can often tell the difference between fake laughter and real laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the example that comes to mind is your boss makes a joke. What do? You laugh at that joke. That's, even if your boss is a great guy, and maybe even if your boss is actually funny, Our boss is actually funny.
Our boss is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, he's pretty hilarious. But I still find myself falling into fake laughter sometimes. And hopefully I'm pretty good at it and no one's noticed it. But we still find ourselves knowing when to laugh. Sometimes when I found myself doing this at the teachers' conference because I'm suddenly interacting with a lot of people that I haven't interacted before,
mm-hmm.
be it teachers or discovery personnel that were there with us. And I find myself falling into the pattern of using a little fake laughter sprinkled in my conversation, you know, and just, you know, smiling and kind of laughing a little bit as part of the way that I'm communicating with them.
That's interesting because some I read that in order to try to gain control, social control over a situation, that the people who are trying to gain social control over it tend to laugh more than the person who is listening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way to engage people, right, and to get people to pay attention using laughter. And as you had pointed out, this part of the brain is actually called the premotor cortical region,
mm-hmm.
and this is the region that's activated. And it is the part of the brain that is standing at the ready and listening to conversations and lighting up just before it begins to contort your facial muscles to react to the situation. And, of course, we always have to bring up mirror neurons when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Stephen Small, who is a professor in neurology and psychology, argues that the contagious nature of laughter is caused by mirror neurons, or he says brain cells that become active when an organism is watching an expression or behavior that they themselves can perform. And we've seen this again and again and again, so it's no surprise there that when you're watching another person laughing, you begin to mimic that you actually have those neurons in your brains that are saying, hey, laugh now, it's funny.
Yes. Well, which comes right back around to the idea of laughter yoga, which I know you hate.
I don't know that I hate. let me say, I've never meant to take a laughter yoga class.
Right, but some yoga instructors will sprinkle it in there.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I was there for yoga, not for laughing. So perhaps I just wasn't in the right mindset, but I hate the idea of it.
You hate the idea of it. Just to explain this to anyone who hasn't had any actual experience with laughter yoga, this involves you being in a yoga classroom and the yoga instructor who is leading you in various physical activities will also lead you in a bout of basically fake laughter where you'll... The teacher will start going, ah, ha, 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 ha. And everyone else has to join in with, ah, ha, ha, lots of fake laughter.
But you're in a pose, by the way.
Sometimes. Or it'll involve sort of hand gestures. Like there's one that we do in my yoga class called laughter milkshake, where you have like a pretend milkshake,
mm-hmm.
and you move it from one mug to the other, and then you pour it on your head, and then you laugh really hard. And it always ends with legitimate laughter, at least for me and people I notice in the room. It starts fake, and then it becomes contagious, and it becomes authentic.
It's true. It's one of those things, but it's the whole fake it till you make it, and you become it, right? So
yeah.
If you laugh even when you're faking it, you're going to actually start to laugh.
Sometimes I'll throw in a little sardonic laughter, you know.
Well, that's what I did to try to counter it, because it was driving me crazy. So I was like, ha, 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 ha.
But that's interesting. The sardonic laughter is another interesting thing to bring up. Because I don't know that anyone actually does it. I guess I'm just not around, like, severely evil individuals. But if it exists, legitimately, and not just in movies, and I don't know that anyone's ever actually looked into this. If we have any evil listeners out there, maybe they can tell us. But if it exists, then it's an example of this social hijacking of the use of laughter, to where we're faking it, I guess, to belittle someone, or we're just unhinged, I guess, is the whole deal. That you find humor in things that are not humorous, like taking over the world or creating a robot-gorilla hybrid that will help you take over the world.
It was just my way of saying, like, hey, I didn't sign up for the laughter yoga class. I signed up for the regular yoga class. But what does all of this laughing do to us? What are the actual physical effects and the benefits?
So, the healing power of laughter. We've talked a lot about what laughter is and some of the things that go on in the human body. So, to what extent can it actually heal us?
Well, okay, let's talk about what is happening at the physical level, right? Because let's just lay this groundwork so we can see if there's a possibility that it could have some sort of long-term healing effects. When we laugh, our bodies respond really positively. There is a decrease in stress hormones of cortisol, adrenaline, and DOPAC, and an increase in beta endorphins, which lower feelings of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then human growth hormone, also, which helps protect us against disease and infection. So it's not just the act of laughter that changes our body's chemistry, because, you know, even the mere anticipation of laughing does this too. So if you see a funny movie, or rather, if you're on your way to go see a funny movie, mm-hmm. you're already primed. Your body is ready to go ahead and release those feel-good endorphins.
Just on a physical level, of course, the repeated forceful exhalations of breath that occur, they really gives your lungs a workout, gives the muscles of your diaphragm a workout. So there's a lot of breathing and chest movements going on.
Mm-hmm. And laughter also prompts our bodies to produce more T cells and globulins, and this is where it becomes very important to our mm-hmm. immune system, because what they've found is that higher levels of an antibody called salivary immunoglobulin A, when you laugh, this is released, and that is what fights infectious organisms entering into the respiratory tract. So that is what they found in the saliva of people, this increase of this antibody for people who watched humorous videos. And the idea is that the benefits of this could actually be linked to longevity, because people who report a general feeling of happiness, and of course laughter would mm-hmm. help with that, tend to be healthier overall and live longer rather than unhappy people. And there's a 2011 study that says that 3 out of 3,800 people aged 52 to 75, they found that those who rated their happiness higher were significantly less likely to die in the following 5 years.
Nice.
So, you know, there you go. It's just another reason to laugh.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
There's a great study that we ran across in researching this, a 2012 Oxford University study. You're nodding your head.
Yes.
Okay. You're not laughing. I laughed when I read this one because basically this is what it consisted of. They had subjects watch videos, either funny ones or dry documentaries, and then they were also tortured. Which is to say they put their wrists or arms inside blood pressure cuffs or frozen cooling sleeves.
Now, we should say why they did this, because because you had mentioned the what is happening physically, like, you know, with your abdomen and the amount of air that you're inhaling and exhaling. They wanted to know if laughing could be considered actual exercise. Right. And we know that when we exercise, we release endorphins, which help to manage pain.
Right. So you need to inject a little pain into the scenario to see if the laughter is actually helping with it. And sure enough, in the experiments, pain thresholds did go up after people watched the funny videos, but not after they viewed the factual documentaries. So, I mean, belly laughter was also the key here, like full-blown,
right,
not just snickering a little at Ken Burns' hair when you're watching a documentary, but actual full-bodied laughter, like if you're watching Airplane or something.
Yeah, that's right. They were looking at the amount of contractions that their bellies were doing.
Which reminds me, it brings me back to Umberto Eco's Name of the Rose, because a lot of that book and the movie, which is also quite good, deals with the nature of laughter and what the church's view on laughter is. And Brother William in the book brings up an example of a saint who supposedly employed laughter while being tortured and tricked one of his torturers into dipping his hand into the boiling water that he was immersed in. It made me think, it's like, if you had maybe that's a way you could, to a certain extent, but not really, counteract torturous pain by just going into it with a sense of humor.
Just tickling people instead of torturing them?
No. I'm saying that while being tortured, if you found enough humor in the scenario, could you, you know, I guess you could conceivably reduce the level of pain. You could up your pain threshold.
Right.
It wouldn't actually work, but it, I can't help but go there with my mind.
And you can't self-tickle.
Right, you can't self-tickle.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I think David Eagleman was just talking about that on Twitter.
Yeah, it has to do with like anticipation. And
yeah, if you find someone who can self-tickle, they are faking it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right.
And they are weird for faking that to begin with.
There's probably a whole movement of self-ticklers out there. So here's this idea that came out of that study, though, is that exercise and laughter could have the same benefits, right? This rise in endorphins. So then it became, well, okay, if we know from laughing that laughing is increased in a group situation, could endorphins be increased in an exercise situation? So I think it's interesting how they took one data set and tried to apply it to the other. I think it was a 2009 study. Yeah, it was 2009 study that Dunbar, same guy from the laughing experiment, and his colleagues studied a group of elite Oxford rowers, asking them to work out either on an isolated rowing machine separated from one another in a gym, or on a machine that simulated full synchronized crew rowing. And in that case, the rowers were exerting themselves in synchrony as a united group. And after they exercised together, the rowers' pain thresholds and presumably their endorphin levels, were significantly higher than they had been at the start, but also higher than when they rowed alone. So even just thinking that you are participating in this group activity apparently helped in terms of the release of endorphins, which is very interesting.
Which brings back to the idea of going to a group exercise class, such as a group yoga class.
I was about to
where
say.
Where you then also engage in group laughing.
Right. I was going to say, and of course, all roads lead to laughter yoga in this case, because that is the culmination of what we've described here.
Yeah. The universe is saying, Julie Douglas, give in.
It's not.
To laughter
the universe
yoga.
Is not talking to me. And if it is, I'm insane.
Another quick study that I found was one from researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital, and they found that patients use laughter to communicate emotionally with their psychotherapists, like using it a lot like an exclamation point at the end of a sentence, and that laughing together also helps seal the bond. So I found that interesting as well in terms of not only physical healing but emotional healing. Laughter ends up playing a role in therapy sessions, which the few times that I've seen a therapist, I mean, I do remember laughing a little. partially because I ended up accidentally going to a children's therapist and there was a sandbox full of toys in the room. She was great, but there was a sandbox full of toys.
Did she have a clown nose on?
No, thank God.
Okay. Just had to check. All right. Well, before we go to our mail, should we just listen to that clip one more time?
Yeah, play the laugh one time. And actually, I encourage everyone to laugh. Try laughing with this man. Laugh aloud. If you're in the car, if you're out running, cycling, if you're alone in the truck, whatever.
If you're on mass transit, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just start laughing. Laugh with this man.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. What do we have in the mail bag?
Yes, let me grab the mail. If the robot will be kind enough to bring it over. All right. Here's one from our listener, Murphy. Murphy writes in and says, "Aloha, Robert and Julie. I just finished the podcast about the Ordovician period. Blew my mind, naturally. But I am here to talk about the listener mail at the end about maps. One day, I was at a family friend's house when I saw a poster of a map that looked like this." And she included this image, and it's basically the map of the world as we typically see it, inverted.
Yeah.
Okay. "It's a map of the world, only upside down from its traditional orientation. It got me thinking about how arbitrary north and south were, and how easily our Earth could have eastern and western snow caps and orbited around the sun vertically rather than horizontally. It's all about the mapmaker's perspective and whatever sticks. On the topic of science fiction maps, I also came across this map. Somebody on the internet mapped out the location of all the Star Wars planets ever mentioned in the films, games, novels, and comic books. I think they call that the extended universe. There are quite a lot of them. Just thought you would appreciate that." And she also included this map, which is really awesome. Includes all of these star systems and so forth. So that's one of the things we talked about in that episode, the creation of maps that spell out all the details of our fantasy settings, as well as the bias of our of our maps regarding the world as it is or the world as we experience it, and its effects on how we experience it. Because again, you have that map of the world, and you basically have the United States there in the center of it, or Europe, or Western Europe.
And the idea
center
is, this is important.
Yeah, this is the center of the map. This is the center of the place in the world, in space. So thanks for sending that to us, Murphy. Here's one from a listener by the name of Alberto from Puerto Rico. Alberto writes in and says, "Hi, Julian Robert. I just finished listening to the 3 Map podcast and remembered a weird high school experience I had with maps and wanted to share it with you. In a Puerto Rican history class, the teacher decided that the best thing we could do was make a lot of maps. The thing is that he had some weird map hypotheses. The first is that each map had a capital or central point, and that if it didn't, the owner or user of the map was the main point of the map. Second, every representation of space was a map, so every representation of any space had a main point. The assignment required that I localize myself on an ever bigger map, starting with our house. We had to do maps with a star of for where I lived as a capital of our house, our barrio, neighborhood or ward, our town, our country, Puerto Rico, our area, Caribbean, our continent, our planet, and our solar system. I never understood the reasoning behind this, and he never made the connection between this exercise and the history of Puerto Rico. The rest of the assignments of the class were map related, but not so far away from the history as this one. Thank you for making my commute entertaining." Well, I think that's an interesting experiment that the class engaged in, because it was getting down to what is the nature of a map, and what does it say about where I am on the map, and where I position myself in the map.
Well, I like it, too, because it gives kids the idea that they are citizens of the universe.
Yeah.
That, of course, this is the specific street that they live on, the specific neighborhood, and a specific city, and so on, and keep going out. It's almost like the powers of 10, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I really like that one. Certainly, if any of you other listeners have any cool map experiences, map activities from school like that, write in. We'd love to hear about them. But more importantly, if you have something about the healing power of laughter you would like to share, we'd love to hear any stories you have of how laughter has affected your physical healing or emotional healing during trying times in your life. If you are employed in the medical profession in any way, shape, or form, we'd also love to hear from you about your thoughts on the nature of humor. And if any of you are comedians, share it as well. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Tumblr. On both of those, we go by the name Stuff to Blow Your Mind. And on Twitter, we use the handle Blow the Mind.
And you can drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.